What's going on, friends? This is episode 2 of My Personal Passion. I'm Maximilian Lowe. I'm still your host, and this is a cool episode. It's sort of about Call of Duty, but if you listen to the first episode, you know that really it's more about people. It's about what makes people passionate, what's behind their passions. Carlos and I have a really interesting conversation this episode. We end up talking about addiction, why do people need to be competitive, and a lot of other things like that that get very heady and interesting. I had a great time recording the episode. I think you'll have a great time listening. Without any further delay, let me drop you into my conversation about competitive Call of Duty with the absolutely hilarious stand-up comedian, Carlos Gasparri. Here we go. A sentence, a paragraph, whatever. What is cool about competitive Call of Duty?
Ooh. I've been thinking about this a lot because it's like, I was telling you my account got banned, so I can't play online, but I could easily play offline. Mm. And I had like no interest in playing offline whatsoever. So there's something about the idea of like online play specifically, and what makes it competitive is that you're actually beating a real person. Mm-hmm. Even though you have no sort of feedback, that's a real person behind the scenes, right? You're just being told by the computer or the console that it is, right? So just that psychological difference is like, and before I kind of played a lot of Call of Duty, I played a lot of FIFA, and I realized that, maybe I didn't realize it until I played Call of Duty, like, and I really got like sort of like addicted, where I was like, I need to like control my play mm-hmm. or whatever. With FIFA, it was easier to control, but it was feeding the same thing. Mm. It was like this sort of competitive nature that I don't like to be outwardly competitive like in real life, mm-hmm. but I am a competitive person. I'm just too shy to be that competitive where I hate the idea of like, oh, I gotta win, I gotta tell you that I gotta win, and I hate that like being outwardly like that, but I am competitive. So it's like, I think that's what it like sort of feeds, like the competitive nature of it, specifically Call of Duty. I think they've just made this like, I know you said a sentence or a paragraph, I'm going off a little bit.
No, go on. Yeah.
But I think they've optimized it to the point where it's like the audio, whenever you like get a kill, whenever you get a headshot, like the audio is different. So it's like way more satisfying to get a headshot versus not. So I think all this is playing with your endorphins, where it's like getting you actually properly addicted. And they've done this, and it's a little bit dark, but it's also just legitimately super fun.
Yeah. That brings up a lot of questions. Like, I have so many follow-ups on that.
Yeah, no, please.
But I'm medium familiar with Call of Duty. There's other people who have probably heard the name. Like, Call of Duty, I think what I'm trying to say is Call of Duty is the most famous video game ever, probably.
Right, probably.
Talk to your mom, that's most likely the game she's heard, right?
Yeah.
Can you explain Call of Duty in general? Yeah. And then also, why do you think it is so iconic as a game to people outside of gaming?
Okay, and I guess one caveat is I actually never really played it that much when it was, like, at the peak.
Mm.
I only started playing in the last, like, year or so.
Whoa, that's so far behind what it was.
Yeah, so far behind. I mean, like, years. I might have even, like, owned a Call of Duty game, just, like, barely even played it.
Mm-hmm.
And only recently, when I started playing with a few friends, like, got into it. There's, like, at this point, there's, like, many different, like, gameplay modes within the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I specifically play one game mode. It's called Warzone. And this is kind of, like, the classic, like, what they call, like, a battle royale game.
Fortnite genre.
Yeah, sort of. They drop you into this map, and there's different sizes of the maps, and you're with your team, and the whole point is to just, like, survive to the end. As far as, like, first-person shooters, there really isn't that much competition. Activision is, like, not a well-run company, like, at all. My account got banned because somebody else had gone into it. My appeal got immediately rejected. They didn't even, like, do anything about
mm-hmm.
it. And I'm, like, just reading online, there's, like, tons of people that have gotten falsely banned.
Yeah.
And the fact that that happens and people still keep coming back to the game makes me think that there's not really a really suitable alternative out there for Warzone specifically.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts outside of the play experience? Do you think there's anything to be said about the genre, the narrative? Is there any other elements of it that you really enjoy or that you think are drawing people to it?
I think the streamer community,
because
that I had never gone into. Honestly, I kind of judged it from afar.
Okay.
But like Twitch, I was like, oh, why would you ever why would you ever watch people play video games? And why do they call it esports? And then, because it's like, it has nothing to do with sport. But then I started watching it and I was like, oh, like I watch a lot of soccer, actually, just live soccer. And like, it feeds into the same thing. You like seeing the, like, you know, how the professionals do something right? And because they're operating at a level that's so much higher than anyone else, you're like, well, these are people that are doing this every day, all the time.
Yeah.
I've been watching streamers, like, and this is, like, not necessarily proud of this, but got home one night after the bar, it was like 1:30 a.m., and I go on Twitch, and it's, what's his face? He's famous because, like, his parents were, like, the founders, like, Benihana. Dude, Steve Aoki. Steve Aoki is on.
Funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah, his parents were the founders of Benihana. Steve Aoki's like on Twitch playing Call of Duty with like 50 people watching.
Wow, that's weird. That's so weird. It's for so someone bizarre. That famous.
I know, right? And there's also like a this O'Malley, like, UFC fighter.
Oh yeah, guy. Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Yeah, yeah. Guy, he plays Call of Duty a lot.
Really,
he'll have like 500-600 people on the stream watching him.
Nice.
Played is like pretty good.
I feel like the issue is the lack of a Venn diagram of the fan base, because people who love Steve Aoki and people who play a lot of video games, very small overlap between those two communities. You
know? It's weird. Because League of Legends, I know, like, there's like, I mean, I have known nothing about League of Legends, but they have like that one super celebrity guy. He's like one, like, every tournament.
Faker is his name.
Yeah. I just heard some of when the Esports World Cup was happening, I heard them talking about how this guy showed up with, like, a team of people. Like, he was such a celebrity to the point he had, like, a team of people you had to, like, ask before you could go up to him to talk to him. Wow. And, like, it's, like, that sort of the level of, like,
well, that's celebrity. Part of that is just South Korea, right? Because, like, I heard this story once that in South Korea, when their soccer team was playing in the World Cup, their soccer team got the chance to meet Faker and some other players to hype them up for the World Cup. That, in their culture,
that's
it's
insane.
The inverse of, like, yeah, so...
That's so wild.
Yeah. So that's a huge part of it, is the South Korean culture.
Yeah, because here I feel like the Call of Duty celebrities would be considered, like, losers.
Yeah.
I'm not losers. Losers is probably a strong word, but, like, you know, the U.S. soccer team probably isn't, like, doesn't even
it's like, what do you do?
Video games online, like, what's wrong with you?
The funny thing is that, like, okay, so I guess I want to get back to your interest, because what was your process for getting into competitive Call of Duty?
I guess it was just from being really bad at it. Because when I started, it was like, I started with like three other friends that, like, one of them had recently on like a PS5, and they're like, oh, why don't we play Call of Duty? And I was like, oh, I've always wanted to try, I've always thought I would like it, let's give it a try. And like, played, like, we would drop in as a team in like Warzone. And then, like, I'm, like, the only one of those four that really got, like, addicted to it. Mm-hmm. But it was also maybe the worst one. So it was, like, my friend who, like, plays a lot of those types of, like, first-person shooters was, like, getting, like, 4 or 5 kills his first few times playing. And I was getting, like, 1, maybe. Right? So it's kind of like, oh, like, I suck at this. Like, why am I so bad at this? Like, I want to get better, because I, like, whenever I would get that one kill, it's like, oh, wow, this kind of, like, feels kind of cool. Going back to the competitive thing.
Yeah.
So I think it was that. It was just like a drive of like, oh, this is something that I just naturally kind of want to get better at, because I'm like having a lot of fun, but I feel like I'd have more fun doing it.
So, have you had an experience with anything else besides Call of Duty where you were bad at it and that motivated you to get really into it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, I mean, this might not be the best example, but like when I got to college, I studied computer science. And a lot of people that went to that same school had studied a lot of it in high school. So I feel like they had this like inherent advantage over me, where it's like, you know, we would take a really hard class, and then, like, you know, maybe the average grade was like a 40 or a 50 or something, because it was just very difficult subject material. And you'd have one guy that got like a 98. And then, big surprise, he had been studying it for like 4 years before he even got there. So I think I also really liked computer science.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like just being bad at it and liking it and being like, oh, I really want to get better at this. So it's not necessarily like a competitive thing, just more like, I enjoy this thing, I suck at it, I want to get better.
So you want to be, if you like it, you want to also be good at it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're missing out if you're not as good? Like, if you didn't have your friends who were better than you, you know, you said you had your friend who was much better than you at first, would you have been the same type of motivated?
That's a good question. I guess, I naturally want to compare that to stand-up. And one of the reasons why I think New York is a good place to do stand-up is because you have the people that have not only been doing it for longer, but the people that have been doing it for the same amount of time and are better. And you're like, oh, man, like how do I... And it's not even like I'm jealous. It's like, how do I push myself to get to those levels, right? But I think I have to... It has to be something that I enjoy also. Like, it's not competitive for the sake of being competitive. It's just like... But there is that competitive element.
How often do you play Warzone?
Probably every day if I'm here. Yeah. Maybe like I've been trying to keep it to like an hour a day.
Okay.
Although my account recently got unbanned
because
I went through the Better Business Bureau and they finally got back to me. It's funny how Activision
really
will react.
Yeah.
I think I came back from like a trip like 3 weeks ago and the account had gotten banned and then I went 2 weeks without playing and I was like. I think the physical part, you know, they say like if you quit cigarettes, like the physical part mm-hmm. goes away in like 2 weeks. I think Call of Duty would have taken longer from just the physical. Like, no, I feel like I need to play right now, without even being like a habit thing. So I've been trying. Like yesterday, I played like 2 or 3 hours, but I've been trying to keep it to like an hour a day.
Nice. Have you heard of the Tetris effect?
No.
Where you play a video game enough, and like in Tetris, you look at a brick wall and you see Tetris shapes on the brick wall. Have you had that with
Yes, it actually has happened. So the boundary of the map in Warzone is just like gas, and you can't. It's like poisonous gas. So it starts out large, and then every like few minutes it like closes in. The gas has a very distinct like yellow color as it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a coffee shop and I was looking at the floor. And like I got like this weird. It was during the day. And I got this hit of the sun, and I was like, "Oh fuck, the gas!" I swear to God, it was like a visceral. Like, oh, I gotta get away from the gas.
In the coffee shop, you were running from sunlight. That's so funny.
That was like, oh God, I gotta play less. This is like
running away from sunlight in a coffee shop is really a moment of clarity. That's
damn.
Huh? That's fast. With you getting, I want to go back to your friends real quick. With you getting more into it, and your friend, have you talked to your friend I'm really into Warzone right now? Is this a point of contention?
Yeah. And then not so much contention, but it's like there's like leveling up or whatever in the game. Like you can have like your rank.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we first started, we're all like, you know, one of our friends was like rank 22. One of them was like, you know, 40 or whatever. Like, oh man, you're at 40. That's crazy. And then like I started playing a lot more, and then like the next time we played, I was like at 80, and they were still at 40 because they hadn't played. And you know, it's not about being good. It's like about just putting in a lot of reps or whatever. And now I'm like level like 950, and I think they're probably still like 70 or something like that. So whenever they ask me like, oh, what level are you? I'm like, I don't even want to tell them anymore. And I'm like, dude, I just played too much to. Yeah.
It's interesting how like. That sense of embarrassment over I'm too into this thing, because they're also into it, like
but not into it as much. I mean, I don't think I, because a lot of them, at least a couple of them, are like gamers. They do play a lot of games, so with them I'm not so embarrassed. It's more like when I'm like on a date, like I don't like, really want to bring this up. Like Call of Duty is such a well-known thing, it has so much funny stuff around it, like the insults that happen online, all that stuff. It's kind of like maybe a little gimmicky on that side of it. So it's just something that I like feel a little bit embarrassed about. Regular people.
It has a reputation. I mean, I feel the way about same way about saying that just the word World of Warcraft when it comes out of my mouth, I'm like, it's like iconically nerdy,
right?
Which is different. It's a different thing than Call of Duty.
Yeah, because Call of Duty is more like the negative part of it is like bro-y or like douchey. Less so than like nerdy.
How do you? Do you think about that oftentimes when you're like, does this feel uncomfortable talking to people about Call of Duty?
No, well, yeah, sometimes it feels a little bit uncomfortable. Like when I was saying before, like going on a date or whatever. I think one time, sometimes it's like self, like there's like the self embarrassment part of like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. When I'll see like the names of the people. And I'll see, like, one guy, like, the gamer tags, and somebody will be like, I have autism, is, like, the name. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I've seen multiple players with that same gamer tag. And they'll say, like, gay. They'll just be, like, insulting. Or just have, like, slurs in there.
Yeah.
And, like, dude, this is just, like, so, like.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm part of this community.
And you'll see the stream. Like, sometimes the streamers, obviously, like, they don't want anyone, like, saying when they're playing with other randos. Because a lot of streamers will do this. Sometimes they'll go into, like, the public thing and like play with like random teammates, and sometimes we'll have the other teammates will have their mic on and just drop like N words and stuff like that, and the guys do like, what the fuck, like what is this, and they have to like mute them, and like that's just like kind of like shitty that that still happens, I guess.
And you're afraid if you tell someone I love Call of Duty, they're gonna be aware of that type of stuff.
I mean, I probably maybe overthink it to some extent, but
I mean, I think it's I feel the same way about a lot of like I feel
right,
like
right.
I don't know, maybe not everyone, but I feel like I definitely have many hobbies that I'm always like, I don't want to tell people immediately that I do this.
Yeah, you want them to like know you first, and then you like admit it to them.
Yeah.
What I mean, because that's an interesting thing is like, Rick and Morty, I'll compare it to. Mm. I'm a fan of Rick and Morty, but I feel like the Rick and Morty fan base has made me embarrassed to say I like that show.
Really? Is it like, because I know that the creator of it also got like in trouble for sort of like for toxic stuff. Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking about the sexist stuff.
But is it similar to that, or is it just completely different? Like, what sort of like toxic stuff is the?
I mean, I just think that they're really pretentious. There's like a lot of people who are like, you have to be smart to understand Rick and Morty, and I'm like, dude, it's. I like it, but it's juvenile. It's fun, you know? Like,
right.
And so
right.
I don't... I'm so afraid of people... Of telling someone I love Rick and Morty and thinking I'm one of these, like, smart show, you know?
Gotcha.
So I think everyone has things that they feel like... I wish... I don't want to be judged because I like a thing, but I'm not like the other people who like this thing.
Yeah. And I don't know if we're basically assuming that the person's even going to judge us to begin with. Because they might not. They might not know about it, or they might know about it and still, like, be like, okay, like, anyone can like Rick and Morty, you know what I mean? Like,
when you first started playing Call of Duty about a year ago, you said it was. Did you have thoughts about like, people who play this are blah or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, I just heard the stereotypes of like, oh, people insulting each other and calling each other names or whatever, like online, and that stuff. It's funny because on some level, I was like, oh, like, I know that I'm really gonna like this game, and looking back on it, I kept saying that whenever somebody would talk about Call of Duty, I was like, no, I know I'm going to get addicted to it if I play it. And it's actually true. So I don't know what it was that I already knew ahead of time.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Before you played it at all, you had a sense.
Though. Yeah.
Had you played other similar games? Like, did you have any idea where that came from?
I guess I liked the idea, like, when I played, like, a lot of, like, GTA, it was, like, not even the online mode, like, so not, like, the competitive part of it, but like the idea of being dropped into an open world where you can just go anywhere, and it's not just like an adventure game where there's like a specific track that you have to go. That's one thing I never really liked that much about adventure games. Like, I guess some of them can be like open world, but they weren't. That wasn't as popular, I guess, for the game to be open world. So, I like that aspect of it, where it's like,
I think oftentimes, personally, multiplayer games feel the most like games. You know, like when you play a narrative linear adventure game, I feel like I'm playing someone else's story that they wrote. Whereas open world, you know, drop into a battle royale, it's just a sandbox they're throwing you in, and it's like, go play.
It's a free-for-all.
Yeah,
cause, no, I totally agree, because like, when I play like Last of Us, like the story was so good that it was almost like you're watching a movie and it's more interactive than that.
Yeah. Outside of video games, did you have a Call of Duty before Call of Duty? Did you have it? Is there other things you can compare it to?
Yeah, I think... Well, this is sort of like a darker thing of like maybe video game addictions or things that people do. Maybe social media can fill this or watching TV. I think for my case, it was like you can only watch so much TV before it becomes like, oh, I'm doing this because I'm like numbing myself or whatever. I'm just like procrastinating or I just don't want to deal with whatever it is that I'm doing. So in the past, like I remember a time in college where I like watched, or actually when I first moved to Seattle right after college, and I didn't know anybody and I didn't have much to do. So I just like binged all the shows that you could binge at that point in time. And that's sort of similar. It's like when I'm playing too much, it's like, oh, okay, you're just kind of like not like out there living your life. You're just kind of like numbing yourself or whatever. I feel like TV has done that for me in the past.
That's interesting. I like the phrase, not out there living your life.
Yeah. Like maybe like avoiding something or like, So that's the part where I think that like, not necessarily addiction, but it can be like an unhealthy thing.
Yeah. Do you try and cut yourself off on video games right now after 1 hour? What do you do instead? What, like, do you fill that time? How do you, you're juggling, we all have a set amount of time in the day.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing with it if not video games?
Basically work, which at this point, it's like, I'm at a point where I'm doing, like, you know, 50% what I was doing before was, like, software engineering, and, like, I'm trying to, you know, I think if you consider stand-up, like, a job is, like, a better way to approach it in the long term, right? So I, like, I'll feel happy playing an hour of Call of Duty or whatever if I know that I hit those things that I had to do the rest of the day. If I'm not doing that, like, I guess, going back to the competitive stuff, I do feel like if I don't play, now that I play so much, I realize that if I don't play video games, I'm not sure what fills that, like, void. I mean, for lack of a better, like, explanation, it's like, I feel like I have to, like, own people online or whatever. And that's, like, part of, like, I don't know, it's like feeding something. Yeah, it's a competitive nature. I guess in addition to the just, like, now that... Actually, this is, like, a kind of a big thing that in the last 2 years, I feel like comedy went from being a hobby to being a job.
Mm-hmm.
So then I didn't have a hobby.
Mm.
And I think it's filled a little bit of that, actually.
That's very fascinating. So, yeah, you've, for a while you had work, and then comedy was your hobby.
Yeah.
Now comedy has become work, and you needed a new hobby.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because now, I mean, I obviously, like, I really enjoy comedy, but as soon as something becomes your job, there's going to be some amount of it that you don't like.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's, like, it's either, like, the posting on social media or whatever. Everyone has those things, right? Like, I'll enjoy the writing, I'll enjoy going to the show, but, like, the stuff around it, or even writing, like when it was completely a hobby, I would just write whenever I felt like writing.
Yeah.
Now you write because you have to, you know, generate a certain amount of material or, like, edit your old stuff, so it's, like, yeah, it feels less like a hobby, even though you enjoy it. Maybe I enjoy it more than my other job, but
It's interesting that I want to. Do humans, you think, need a job and a hobby? Like, do you think that's an essential?
I think so. Right. Yeah, like I think you should be doing things for the sake of doing them, or not for the sake of doing it. Am I getting the opposite of that?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're just doing it because you enjoy it, not because you have some obligation to it. I think there's like a fundamentally different thing that you're satisfying with that. I mean, ideally, the thing that you're doing because you have an obligation to, you also enjoy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But obviously, not everyone has like the privilege to do that or whatever. But
it's a different experience when it's only for your own. There's no obligation.
Yeah, it's like just enjoyment.
But I mean, when you start to get really competitive in a game, you start to put obligations on yourself to some degree. You need to be this good. You need
And that's, I mean, there's another interesting question is like, are there certain types of people that can't just have a hobby?
Because
some people just, you know, and maybe I am sort of like this. It's like, if I really like to do something, like, I kind of like, I really want to do it, you know? And sometimes it's like, you can only get good enough at a hobby before it starts to become something else, like you're saying, right? I think that happened a lot with stand-up. It was like, I discovered it, I was like, oh, wow, I really like doing this. And then I was like, wait, as I was trying to get better, I was like, I'm actually not going to be as good as I want to be unless I put the amount of dedication that you would call this a job.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you think sets the... You say you need to be a certain level of good. I need to be good as I want to be. What do you think sets that bar where you're like, I need to be at least this good?
Ooh. That's a good question. I think with Call of Duty, I haven't gotten there yet where it's like I have to be... Because, I mean, to get to the level of a streamer, like, they're playing, like, you know, 6 hours a day, every day, and they're playing competitive tournaments, and they're eventually finding a way to not have a day job from it. So I think a better example is how that happened in stand-up, right? I just felt that with stand-up, it was like, oh, I think I'm going to really be disappointed in myself looking back in the future if I don't try and be what are the best or whatever, just like reach that tier of like really, really good. What sets the bar? I'm not entirely sure. There's something, because it's always like a lot of people are like athletes or whatever, they're always like like I want to be the best in the world at this one thing, and it's like swimming, and it's like there's no objective truth as to why, you know, it's a good life that you lived if you became the best swimmer in the world.
Yeah.
At some point, it's kind of made up to some extent, right? But it does satisfy, like, the process of getting there does satisfy something that is, like, human, I think. Not to get so heady, but... So, yeah, I think it's part of that. It's like, I just really like stand-up, and I was like, oh, like... You know, I think for stand-up specifically, I think we've talked about this in the past, it's like there's being funny, and then there's wanting to be funny, and those two are kind of separate.
Okay.
Like, it's ideally you want to be the funny person that also wants to be funny, but I think what makes a comedian is somebody who really wants to be funny. So I got into stand-up not necessarily because I think I'm the funniest person in the world, but because I really want to be. So that's like a drive that will make you get better, that maybe really funny people that are naturally funny don't have that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So someone who's actually outside of stand-up absolutely hilarious might not be interested in stand-up because there's not that gap, that, like, desire to get to the next level.
Yeah, I think so, because I think, and I've heard other comics say this, too, maybe, like, on podcasts and stuff, is, like, the funniest person they know is not a comic, right? Like, everyone had, like, the growing up, like, I was not the funniest kid. I think I was funny, but I maybe wanted to be funny a lot, yeah.
Do you think the thing that drives you to a thing, or to want to be great at a thing, is it has to be attainable, but not easy?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's how I convinced myself that I should do stand-up. I mean, I think I had some reasonable arguments, but I was like, oh, this is a hard thing, so it's going to be a challenge, which I know that I need to be part of whatever I'm doing, because it's like, it's just fun that way to try and get better at something. I also think that I have certain things about my life that have made me have like the right background to want to try and do this. I think, I don't remember who it was that said this, but it was like, monetize your self-defense mechanism. So it's like wanting to be funny for, we all have different reasons for wanting to be funny or needing that sort of thing as like being social. So there's many different reasons why you might have come to that, but for whatever reason you've built this sort of wanting to be funny and being funny in like your entire childhood or whatever, or growing up, right? So becoming a comic is kind of just like, well, how can I just use this to make it a career? Right, 'cause I've been doing this all the time. It's, I just haven't been like calling it trying to be stand-up.
Do you so you feel like it was interesting? You said you, as a kid, you weren't the funniest kid, but you were funny and you wanted to be funny. Were you weren't the class clown or anything like that?
No, I wasn't. I was definitely not like the number one class clown. Yeah. I mean, I liked to get around my friends and like laugh.
Yeah.
But I maybe, but I was also like the, I was more like the good student. That was kind of like my role.
Okay.
And then the funny stuff would come from like, I was in an American school mostly growing up, which was very small in Venezuela. And like, I was in a Venezuelan school for a few years, which was much bigger, much more like, a lot more bullying and stuff like that. And in those few years, like, I feel like that was my way to like not get bullied or to like not be the popular kid, but be at least like friends with the popular kids by making them laugh. That was like the way that I would fit in.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think I was the class clown,
So, but, so that, you think, became your defense mechanism?
Yeah.
Do you think there's another, so you say that the funniest kid is not a comedian. Do you think you're secretly really good at something, and you don't want to do it because you're really naturally, like, what's your...
Ooh, what a like good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this is the best answer. It's one case where it's like, I played drums growing up, and I enjoyed it. I got into it because, you know, it was a classic, like, parents are like, oh, we're gonna, like, enroll our kids in stuff and see what they're, like, into or whatever. So my brother would play the guitar, and I played the drums. And I thought that, like, for my age and seeing other people that had picked up the drums, too, I was, like, very good. But it didn't... I would mostly play because it was, like, there was, like, a band where it's, like, somebody was super into the guitar, and they wanted to, like, jam or whatever, so I would go and play with them. And I would play by myself and practice alone because I wanted to maybe get better at it. But it wasn't something where I was like, I want to be really, really good at this. And obviously now I'm like shit because I just stopped. But that's one thing that I was like, oh, I was like, it was like naturally easy for me. But I just didn't, didn't want to be that good at it. Maybe there's an aspect of it because I was good at it. I didn't. I didn't want to.
I mean, that's the weird. I've never thought about things this way that we're like stumbling on now. But like there's this interesting thing where there's, I feel like, a lot of times what people are passionate about is the thing that they're like 7 out of 10 good at, not 10 out of 10 good at.
Yeah.
And we get, and you talked about the process of getting better at a thing. I think like humans enjoy, like we don't realize it, but we're addicted to the process, not the end goal. We want to forever be chasing something. Like we want to live with a carrot on a stick in front of us. It's better than having the actual carrot.
Yeah. I totally agree.
So like, if I may bring it back to Call of Duty. It's just an interesting phenomenon to me to, because I that I relate to a lot, to be like marginally passionate about a thing. You know what I mean? Like, it, you are passionate, but it, it fits into a small box inside your personality, you know?
And maybe it's just having the self-awareness to be like, okay, like I have a sort of personality left untethered or whatever. I would try and be a streamer. You know what I mean? But because I know, I maybe I know myself, I'll say, okay, well, I have to cap it at one day because I have all these other things that are like long-term important. I don't have that like this is just immediate fun right now. I don't have that drive to stand up or software engineering, but like I have to make a conscious choice to like keep a box for each one and like a certain size for each box.
So what keeps Call of Duty as a smaller box? Like what would make you want to be a streamer? Like what, is there something that could happen tomorrow that you would be like, actually I'm going to go for being a pro streamer at Call of Duty?
If I couldn't do stand up or software engineering, if I don't know, I mean, this, I don't know why I thought of this, but it's like I had some like physical like thing that happened where I can't go to clubs, I can't do like stand up anymore. I'm like, well, I have to stay at home all the time. Like, fuck it. Like, I enjoy Call of Duty. Like, let's see what happens. So I think it's more that my priorities are other things.
Okay.
And I wanna not get distracted on those.
Yeah. So
that's why I think that's the deterrent from Call of Duty turning into this thing I can't control.
So would you say it's your third, like, third most favorite thing?
I'm trying to replace it with, like, dating and, like the relationships and stuff.
Yeah.
But that was maybe, like, not to... Oh, God, I can't believe I'm bringing up my breakup now, but... I think there was a time there where it's, like, oh, like, I wasn't super excited about, like, going out there and getting out there and, like, dating, so I was, like, kind of, like, oh, I'm gonna stay and, like, play video games or whatever. So now I'm trying to be, like, no, okay, like... Keep Call of Duty 30 minutes to an hour. You can totally do that.
Yeah.
Try and value, like, hanging out with other people, like, dating, relationships, all that stuff, which I feel like will give me a more balanced life, I guess.
So, it's interesting because there's, like, this, you've got work, which is good for you. Then you've got comedy, which you, like, your coding job work. And then comedy, your other job, which you enjoy.
Yeah.
And then you've got Call of Duty, which you enjoy. And then dating, which is, like, work almost. It's, like, this, like, back and forth between the two.
Yeah. I think the priorities change. I think it's, like, a temporary thing where those are the rankings. I'm trying to move dating and, like, relationships up the ranking a little bit. Yeah, because sometimes you're like, oh, like, I need to do this thing because I've been told and I have this concept that I'm supposed to do these things. And then you realize, okay, there's a reason why everyone says this, because you actually do need social interaction.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. It's interesting, though, because it's like, there's things in everyone's life, like dating, let's say, where you don't enjoy it right now, but you know it's worth it for long term. Mm. And then there's things like Call of Duty, which you enjoy right now, but have no value long term, hypothetically, you know, generally speaking.
Yeah,
it's like, how do you, you got to curtail those right now endorphins in favor of...
For sure. Yeah. I feel like for a lot of people, it's like reality TV or like...
But why not just play Call of Duty all day long, you know? Just get those endorphins like...
Yeah. I think to learn that lesson, like, when I first started playing, I went like a Saturday where I was like, I had this party that I was going to go to at night. Mm-hmm. And like, I just literally just played like 8 hours and then went. I just felt like shit. I feel like I had been drained.
Yeah.
I still ended up going to the party because I was like, it hasn't gotten to the point where I'll like avoid situations or whatever. But like, yeah, I think you have to go through those experiences. Like, oh, I know that too much of this is bad. It's like fast food, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can get like the immediate term like enjoyment right now from eating this thing, but it's gonna make me feel like shit.
Yeah.
You have to go through that process a few times, or maybe every once in a while.
Yeah.
To relearn that lesson.
Yeah.
Right. To readjust and be like, oh, okay, like, or drinking, right? It's like, this is why you have the hangover to teach you why you shouldn't drink so much. And I feel like I am kind of like a drinker, so it's like I feel like I need to relearn this lesson every 6 months with a really bad hangover to be like, oh, okay, this is why I can't just drink all the time.
A lot of times it feels like we as humans are just like a child who's like trying to get away with as much as possible.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like you keep trying to be like, can I play more video games? And then your brain is like, no. And you get in trouble for it but it's all you. There's not one. It's like you're your own parent.
Yeah. I guess maybe as you get older, it's like you develop your own parent,
yeah,
a way to control yourself. I mean, I guess maybe some people can't develop that.
Yeah.
And then that sucks, right? To find out that people like end up in jail because they couldn't like control whatever it is that led them down that path that wasn't healthy, right?
Yeah.
It is. And then, well, why didn't that happen to me? It was like I just had whatever combination of nature and nurture led me to have that like self control.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird. And if you feel like being an adult, it's not that you don't have parents. You just have to be your own parent. You
know?
Someone. It's still almost like there's someone who needs to tell you to behave, but that person has to be inside your own head as you get older.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm 27, you're 35.
35,
right? Yeah. And I'm still learning how to control myself at times, you know? I mean, everyone is. But
I don't think it ever stops. Yeah. I guess maybe, it's like, what's going to teach you that lesson? Because some people need to go to jail, right? To, like, find out that, you know, they had to, like, figure that out, whatever. Some people learn with smaller amounts of, like, I don't know, maybe I'm hyper-focused on, like, the you need, like, that negative sort of, like, feedback to kind of teach yourself. Yeah. I guess not everyone's like that, maybe.
No, I think it's valid, because I think people need different amounts of that negative feedback, right? Because as you're saying, some people, unfortunately, need to go to jail, because they'll go way too far before they realize they're doing something that's short-sighted, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, ultimately, it feels like it comes back to, like, building a better society in some weird way, you know what I mean? Because it's like, what's wrong with robbing someone? Well, it might be good for you right now, but it's bad for society.
Yeah.
And the same could be argued about, like, what's wrong with playing Call of Duty right now? You're not helping build our society up.
Right. Yeah. For, like, very practical reasons, we need to, like, curb certain behaviors.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about this. I mean, I really have, like, no idea how murder laws came to be, but it's like, well, if you murder someone and their entire family comes back to murder your family, and then it's like, you just started an entire war. Whereas, like, if we just made it illegal, it's not, you don't have to believe that murder is inherently wrong. I mean, I believe it is, but you don't have to.
Carlos, are you trying to convince me that murder's okay?
But I guess you don't have to have that be true. You don't have to have it be inherently wrong for it to make sense to have the law around it or the rules. So same as, like, obviously call it, like, murder is, like, the most extreme example, but, like, same with, like, Call of Duty, you're, like, robbing someone. It's like we need these practical safeguards because it's better for everybody if we have them.
Yeah. So I guess an interesting thing is you're passionate about comedy now. And that's a middle ground. It's not, I think most people would argue it's not as valuable as being a coder, and I'm a comedian too, so it's not an insult, you know. It's like, it's not as valuable to society as being a coder, but it does have societal value, clearly, because people pay to go see it, which money is how we decide what society values to some degree, right?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting middle ground of, like, value to society, value to you.
Yeah. So it's like, how did I decide to be a stand-up if being a coder has more value?
Yeah, if we're on the spectrum of coder to Call of Duty.
Right. I mean, I guess because there's, like, I mean, that's just one of the characteristics or factors that go into picking what you want to do. Not necessarily you have to pick one thing to do for the rest of your life, but I feel like, I guess backtrack a little bit. I like this idea of a person having multiple acts where they do multiple things and they weren't just tied to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a society or whatever, but I feel like we always say, like, oh, this person became this one thing and they did this their entire lives. Like, that's not that appealing to me necessarily. I like the idea of people that, like I saw the Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, documentary on Netflix, and it's like three episodes where it's like him being a world class bodybuilder, then, like, world class actor. I mean, world class is arguable, but, you know what I mean? Like, very popular, very successful, and then winning as, like, governor of California and having like two terms, which is like a crazy thing to do as a person, to be at that tier in three different things. And I never got to that tier in coding.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of being, like, getting really good at, like, multiple things. That's kind of really cool. So I guess going back to the original question, like, yes, from, like, the capitalist sense, like, being a coder provides more value to society than being a comedian. But to your point, like, we need comedians. Like, somebody has to be a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, why should I be one of those people? And then I was like, well, I think, when I look at coding or look at being a comedian, like, can I get to that world class tier as a coder? Can I get to that world class tier as a comedian? Like, as a coder, like, maybe. I do think I'm, like, pretty good at it. I don't want to. I don't want to be world class, like, coding or whatever. But I do want to do that in comedy. So that's, like, another factor. I was like, yeah, it provides us value, but, like, do I have a shot at being really good at this? And I felt that I had more of a shot at it at comedy. And that this might be, like, a sort of, like, overinflated ego situation, which could very well be true, but at the end of the day, does it even matter? Like,
yeah.
I mean, do you have the drive to, like, try and do it? Which is also TBD. Like, I don't even know. Like, maybe I'll fucking quit.
A
lot of us don't know.
None of us know. But, you know, what's interesting, though, is that idea of wanting to be world-class at something. I relate to that. But I found that that's not universal. And that was a surprise. I was on a date once, actually. And I told, this was long before I did comedy, I was working in marketing, and I said, I don't know that I want to do marketing for the rest of my life, but whatever I do, I want to be Wikipedia level at it. I want there to be I want to be annotated, you know? I want to be world class.
You know, everybody can edit that, though, right?
Fair enough. I'll go, dreams complete, I'll go write it. But you know what I mean, more than a self-edited page. And she was like, oh, She didn't have that feeling at all.
Yeah.
And I found that there's many people who don't. And it's interesting that, I don't know, have you experienced other people who don't have that same, like, I want to be great at something?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if maybe I might be trying to coerce it into fitting this. But some people, for them, that's like... like starting a family, that's like their goal, right? And you could argue that, like, maybe they're not saying it, I want to be a world-class dad, but they do probably want to be the best parent that they can for whatever reason, right? So, like I said, like maybe there is that drive in way more people than we think there is. They just don't call it, or they just, it's just not about a thing that they do, like becoming good at something, or like an athlete or whatever. Something that's more like typical is like a competitive thing that people are doing. But I totally think, a lot of people don't have that. Yeah.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. I think it's interesting you went to family, because that's a great...
Yeah.
I mean, if we want to go to psychology, there's this idea of, like, you want to make yourself immortal. And you can do it by having children or by being remembered forever. You know? Those two things will both make you immortal. Do you think there's another... like, besides family and fame, is there anything else that could drive a person... like, I can't think of any other category of, like, deep motivator besides family or fame.
And are we including fame as, like, the respect of your peers also counts as fame, or fame, like, this number of people that know who you are? Like,
I guess immortality is, like, what I'm thinking of. Like, you will be remembered after you're gone for what you did.
Yeah, interesting, because for me, it's, like, a lot of people, you know, like, big entrepreneurs will talk about this, like, you know, like, Jeff Bezos building a clock that'll last, thousands and thousands of years, because, like, they're all thinking about their legacy. Like, in practice, I think 50 years from now, 100 years from now, like, literally no one's going to remember you. Like,
yeah.
You'd have to be like top 0.01% or whatever for 100 years from now, I think, to people to actually remember you. I care more about, like, am I respected by the other people that do this that I consider to be really good? So that, it's kind of like recognition as well. It's less about legacy for me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So do you feel, if you were like a stand-up comedian who made a living and you... like, let's say you were surviving on a normal, like, 80,000 a year or so, whatever, you know, like, which is a good, that's a solid, like, hey, I can make 80,000 a year of comedy, I'm a very happy
for
guy.
For sure,
But you're not famous at all, but all the other comics are like, he's a great one. That would very much satisfy you?
I think that would very much satisfy me.
Okay.
Yeah, because when I think about fame, I mean, I don't know, everyone's like, it's easy to say this, but if a genie just gave me the ability to be famous, like, tomorrow, like, would I take it? Yeah. Probably. But from what it seems like, being famous to the point where you can't even go to the grocery store because I don't recognize you, I feel like it's one of those things that's like, seems like that super thing that people want, and then you actually realize that it sucks.
Okay, so if we removed all the negative elements of fame, famous would you want to be?
I'd want to be where, like, anyone who does comedy would recognize me, but your random stranger, maybe like 10% of them would.
So even if, like, let's say no one will ever approach you somehow magically, you'll never have to deal with the downsides.
No negative sides at all.
Would you want everyone to know Carlos was the greatest?
Like, part of me wants to say yes, but part of me, like, has, like, the self-judgment of saying yes. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I don't think so, honestly.
It's so interesting, because it's like, you know, there's before we were talking about how societal value, like, what are you doing that provides value to society?
Yeah.
And then it's like, don't get too greedy. Don't be like, I want to be so famous.
Don't be too valuable.
Don't be too valuable.
So it's like, if I hit the amount of value that I could have provided in coding and comedy, it's like, no, that's too much.
Yeah. We'll start approaching the end. I want to find some closing thoughts and some summaries or something. But what I want to understand is what drives a person to like a specific thing more than anything else when you have access to so much, right? Because I think there are lots of competitors to Call of Duty, which I've tried. I mean, there are reasons we've discussed why not that.
But even
outside of video games, there's other things that could have filled your time. And I agree that there's a lot of great things about Call of Duty, but everyone's passions are specific and unique. Your personality drove you to comedy and Call of Duty. Do you have any thoughts? So, like, I think comedy's easy to answer.
Yeah.
You've already answered, actually.
You've
kind of said as a child you needed to not get bullied, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we don't have to be specific to Call of Duty, but maybe video games in general. Do you have any thoughts about your childhood or anything that you think your fault that, like, attracted you to...
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's going back to the competitive sense.
Yeah.
Of, I hate being the person who's like outwardly trying to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But I might hate that because it's maybe some sort of like insecurity where it's like, why are you scared of that? Why are you scared to be the person that's just better than everybody?
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's one thing. And not that I am, but,
yeah.
You know, but why are you so afraid of outwardly showing that you're better than someone at,
mm-hmm.
at this? And that's a sort of like a fear that maybe,
yeah.
like, if you're doing it online, you're like hiding behind some anonymous
mm-hmm.
thing. I get to do it with strangers. Nobody knows that I'm doing it,
mm-hmm.
but I get to prove my... Which that in and of itself is an insecurity as
yeah.
well. Like, why do I need to prove
yeah.
that I'm better than anybody? It's like, that's probably some sort of like, you know, weakness or something that you have inside, perceived weakness or
yeah.
maybe unperceived.
Yeah.
That you kind of like have to like satisfy, right? Like, I don't know, unworthiness is probably too much, too hard of a,
yeah.
too, like, therapy of a word.
Yeah,
too,
that's strong.
Too strong, but yeah, it probably comes from that. It's
yeah.
like, you need to prove yourself.
Yeah.
Do
you, but it's interesting because you personally, it's almost like you feel like it's rude to show off if you're good at
yeah.
something. Does that come, did you, as a kid, was your parents like very much like, chill out, man, don't be like this?
No, it was kind of quite the opposite. I think I had people in my family that were outwardly competitive and I saw it and didn't like it.
Ooh.
And I had to play a different role.
Okay.
But I shared, you know, blood with them.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you share genetics with people, like, part of that is just who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that part I've always kind of, like, shunned, or, like, I don't want to be that person or whatever. Yeah, I think it maybe comes from that.
You're afraid of becoming your father. I mean, not specifically your father, but, like, you know.
But, yeah, maybe that sort of thing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. Is that you see these traits and maybe like you associate negatively when you're young.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, I don't, you know, I kind of like don't like that. So
yeah.
I'm going to do the opposite. Even if I take it way too far in the other direction.
Yeah.
Right. Because
yeah.
maybe like afraid of conflict too and stuff like that.
Yeah,
where it's
right.
like I have this perceived like if I do show that I win first place or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that's some sort of like that's causing some sort of conflict. And it's not.
It's, yeah.
You competed
yeah.
in something and you won. Like whatever. Like that's not.
Yeah. You're like
right.
preempting that other people will be upset at
yes.
you.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. But then. It's. I mean, people talk a lot, you know, the anonymity of Call of Duty, throwing all these slurs around. Other people use the anonymity of the internet to be racist and horrible. You're using it just to be like, I'm good at something.
Not even good at something, I'm better than that.
Yeah.
I am superior,
yeah.
but I don't have to do it out in the real world.
Yeah, yeah. It's a polite way to be really intense. To be a dick, yeah. That's Call of Duty.
Yeah, yeah. Damn, yeah. I think we got to like the root of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that's where I'm gonna end it. That's
yeah,
a clean
that's great, dude.
Summary. Anything
yeah.
you want to throw on the? Any thoughts? Any bonus feelings? Anything at all?
No, no. I think we explored it way more than I thought was even possible. That's all. I did therapy yesterday. This kind of felt kind of just like, oh, there's nothing to talk about here. And then you go and you're like, oh my god. Is like infinite.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's for I also with therapy, but with so many things, every time it's like, oh, I didn't know everything was just my trauma. Like,
yeah, that's right. Everything is just your trauma, Max, from a couple weeks ago. Hi, everyone. That was the end of the episode. This is the outro. I always wonder if it's gonna be confusing for people to hear my voice and then hear my voice again, as if I'm the host, but I'm both people. You know. You guys get what I'm saying? All right, I'm going to move on from this. I hope you guys liked the episode. I thought that was really cool, especially the way it ended. It felt like it wrapped up in a very interesting and succinct way. Whether or not you enjoyed it, you listened to the whole episode, so I got you. Good news. The next episode is already available on my Patreon. I have a Patreon. I keep it updated one episode ahead of the free ones, which I publicly release. I also am going to start releasing full-length versions of the episodes. There's a lot of stuff I cut out of these episodes, and it's mostly because I want to keep them on topic. I think a lot of the stuff I cut out is actually very interesting and good conversation, but it's maybe drifts a little bit. So if you really liked listening to Carlos, or if you're honestly a big fan of Call of Duty, I cut out a lot of stuff where we talk about like technical details about Call of Duty, because both Carlos and I have a background in the tech industry, so we got into some stuff that I thought might not be accessible to the wider audiences. Either way, It might be fun. So go check it out. I got some bonus clips. I got the next episode live. The next episode is Pickleball with John Brzezowski. You can go, I think, to my website. It's called myppodcast.com. That's myppodcast.com. And that should get you to my Patreon, because I think directly linking to Patreon's a little... They don't have clear URLs. You know what I mean? All right, this outro has been long-winded. Thank you all for listening. Another great episode in the books. I need to think of a good, like, slogan to end each episode on. Right now, my brain is going to... Stay wet. Stay wet, everyone. That's my outro. Bye.